everybody. Come on in. Time for church to start. Grab a seat somewhere. If you're back, move up a little bit if you want to. Fill in the cracks a little bit, but it's good to have you tonight. Happy Wednesday. Look, the sun is shining.
Amen.
I love it. It's a nice day out today, but I'm still glad you came to church anyway. So, hey, before we get into worship, a couple announcements for you. Don't forget that tonight we do have youth hangout after worship, along with kids' church, as always. So 5th to 12th grade will be going with Judah and Justice after worship tonight. Guys, a week from this Saturday, our men's breakfast, 9 a.m., right here at the church. Sign up in the back, please. Our topic is the book of Philemon, so you can come prep for that by reading that. It's a very short book in the Bible, so you want to check that out before you come. That is Saturday, April the 5th. And then the next day, Sunday, April the 6th, we have our evening Sunday night youth hangout for 5th to 12th grade. And that night, by the way, is Hot Wings Sunday. So we'll be getting to check it out, a few hundred hot wings for the kids from B-Dubs, and they're going to come and have a good time with that. And Pastor Tim from the Botkins campus is going to come share the word that night. So it's going to be a good night. So looking forward to that. It's a great night for our young people to invite their friends out. And all of that good stuff. So anyways, small group stuff happening, youth stuff happening, lots of good things happening at church, and I'm glad you are here tonight.
Amen.
So how about we stand up on our feet? Let's worship Jesus together tonight.
Thank you.
Oh, come wake up. That we're above you, Lord, that you would just take it away. Because you are worthy. We're just going to sing this first verse again, and I want you, if you're able, just to cry it out and mean what the words are saying. We just give you our attention tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, go around and greet some of your family of faith. Kids, you're dismissed, and we're so excited to have you here with us tonight at church.
My goodness, I know they're getting kids checked in downstairs. You checked in. It's good to have you. If you're watching on live stream, it's good to have you tonight. You can say hey on there, say hi. We'd love to say hi back and connect with you tonight. If you have prayer needs, you can post it on there. But y'all can prepare your tithe and offering as we are just waiting for everybody to get settled back in after checking kids in and all that stuff. And you're welcome to move down front a little bit if you want to. We have some open seats in front. Welcome to come down. Join us down here. But my goodness. As we are waiting for people to get back up from checking their kids in, Good Friday is April the 18th. We have, in the past 3 years or so, Good Friday we did stations here in the church where we are open for about 3 hours. You come through. We're doing something different this year. We have a little bit more of a presentation for you. So we actually have a start time at 7 p.m. There's going to be some video, some worship. We will have communion closing out. There will be a time of reflection. So a little bit different this year. So I encourage you to be here and invite some people out to that. And then, of course, then Easter Sunday on the 20th, and there's always a pre-service light breakfast offered. So we encourage you to come out and eat some food. Then we'll celebrate the risen Savior on Easter. That's April 20th. And Easter Sunday, by the way, is a wonderful time to invite people out to church. It's a great time that if you know somebody that does not attend church, it's one of those Sundays that people have a tendency to say yes. I've heard it said in the past that 80% of people, when they're invited to that service, will come to church. Okay, so invite them out. And don't just say, hey, come to church. Meet them at the door. Give them some breakfast. Have a seat for them. And do whatever you need to do. But get them out to church. And that day is a one big family Sunday, as always. which is, by the way, this Sunday is one big family. So we provide pre-K and under for the littlest ones, but everybody else is up here for service. They help with the service. And one big family, we're a multi-generational church, and we just like to be together now and then with all the kids. So that's happening this Sunday, okay? So if you need an envelope, Mike's standing there with them. If not, I'll get ready to pray over it, and we can bring your tithe and offering to the Lord. And our kind of our theme here is this: we give with what kind of a heart? Cheerful heart, a joyful heart, amen. That's the state. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances, right? You only ever give thanks when you have a cheerful heart, right? So that is a state of the Christian life. Why? Because we begin to understand not only who God is, but what God does for us. And in the freedom that we realize in him, man, you can't help be joyful, right? Giving with a joyful heart. Lord, we thank you to be able to give tonight, spend time with you in the house with our fellow family of faith. And as we give tonight, we are just living this life of faith, the joyful life of cheerful giving. And we thank you that we can do that. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. And while that's happening, I don't do this much, but the series we've been doing here on Wednesdays, Dealing With Your Mind, if you want to go much deeper, I'm going to give you a resource book called Winning the War of Your Mind by Craig Rochelle. Pick this up on Amazon or someplace. I don't know. It's probably $15 or less. This is worth your read. So what we've been doing here on Wednesdays, we're skimming the surface. I read this a couple months ago, and I kept it in my mind to recommend it to you during this series. This just takes it 10 times deeper than what I've been doing here on Wednesdays, okay? Yes, ma'am. Oh, they do. The libraries still exist?
Yes.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad they have it at the library. So get on the wait list at the library for it, okay? And go ahead and check this out, read it. It's a good resource. Having said that, how many of you like to read? Can I give you another one? One of my, this is just kind of rabbit trail off the cuff. I'll give you a book to read that's a little bit, it's a little bit of a read, but it is probably, I've read in the last, in being ministry in 30 years, I've probably read, I would guess, at least a couple thousand books, if not more. And there are a handful of those books over the years that I reference a lot. So why do you read books, not just the Bible? Why do you listen to sermons and just not read your Bible by yourself? Why do you learn from anybody? You don't believe everything you check out, but there's a lot of wisdom out there that goes beyond your own brain. Education is actually good, people. I know that may blow some of your minds. You can educate yourself. It's good. One of the books I referenced the most over all these years is a book called The Cost of Discipleship by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Well worth your time. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there was a movie that came out about him recently. The people that really know him are just like, don't listen to that. He was taken and it was made political. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was part of the Resistance Church in Nazi Germany, came to America for a while, went back. He was one of the last grouping of people that Nazis killed before they gave up power. But he is one of the great theologians of the last several decades. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, The Cost of Discipleship, just read it. It'll be worth your time. It talks about what cheap grace is and why we shouldn't do that. All right? Anyways. Back to what I'm doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is our key passage that we've been working from. I think it's the third week that we're on this. I think we got one more week in this. And then I'm going to move into a short series that I've been kicking this can down the road for about a year and a half. I have a whiteboard in my office where I sketch out different things I'm going to do. And I've had this short little 3-week series that I wanted to do on angels, the devil, and demons. Probably for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And I have it in months, and I erased it and put something else in. I just kicked the can down the road, and finally I said, enough kicking the can. So when I'm done with this after next week, we're going to get into that a little bit. What the Bible says about that stuff, and maybe some misconceptions out there outside of what the Bible says about those kind of things. Anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud." Well, I'm in 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been talking about my next series and getting to the right place. Okay, here we go. Down there, 2 Corinthians 10. It says, "I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away, I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show the boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh." So again, Paul is always dealing with people that were coming against him. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh." So when you want to fight war, get out of the flesh, because that's just not where it happens. In other words, the carnal way of thinking, the worldly way of thinking. "But these weapons, they have divine power to destroy strongholds." Now, again, being around the charismatic church since I'm a teenager, I've heard a lot of people talk about strongholds in a lot of different ways, but here's what the Bible says. Now listen, this is what the Bible says that is. You can say all sorts of stuff, but this is what the Bible says a stronghold is. Here we go. "We destroy arguments and lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take captive every thought to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." Strongholds, things that are against the knowledge of God that set up a place in your thinking, thought patterns, stronghold. These kind of patterns can be introduced into your life through things somebody says, through an experience in life, through the scheme of the devil. You know, one of his fiery darts made it home to your thinking, okay? And now there's a pattern of thinking in your life that is against the knowledge of God and in essence is a lie. It's not the truth, okay? So in these things, now by the way, lies, if you're not careful, will prevent growth in certain areas of your life. Lies, if you're not careful, can cause you not to live in the fulfillment of certain purposes of your life, right? Lies, if you're not careful, can cause you to stay stuck in certain things in your life. Okay, so the homework you guys got 2 weeks ago was to begin to identify the lies that may be rolling around in your brain, thought patterns. Part of the way that we grow into people that are not conformed any longer to the pattern of the world is to be transformed by the renewing of our what? Our mind. So you've got to deal with what's going on up there. Now, notice, go back to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. It says, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take captive..." I keep reading the NIV in my mind, overlaying the ESV, and they word that sentence different. "And take every thought captive to obey Christ. Who has to take these thoughts captive? You do. Let me tell you something. I don't want to be in your mind. You don't want me there. I have enough trouble dealing with my own. I have just enough time. I don't have time to deal with your mind. Nobody else does either. You have to be the one to start to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. See, part of learning how to govern yourself is learning how to govern your thoughts. Right? You must have the opinion that I actually can do this. My mind is not out of control. It's not like in the old West, if you were running the stagecoach and you got six horses in front of you and you lose the reins, you're just like, oh my goodness, the stagecoach is out of control and there's nothing I can do about it and I'm just at the fate of what these crazy horses do. That's not your mind. You may feel like that. You can feel like that at times, but you have divine power with the help of the Holy Spirit to take control of what's going on in your brain. I just saw the other day, there is a disease called Tourette's syndrome. You ever see Tourette's? People have reactions, say words. Okay, yeah, there's something mechanically going on where they say, okay, there's some things like that, but listen, you are in control of your mind. So if I was to, I'm sorry, Lori, you're just sitting here. If I was just to haul off and kick Lori in the shin, I can't just say, oh, my mind made me do it. The stagecoach is out of control. I couldn't help myself. Y'all would be like, what is wrong with you kicking a woman? My goodness, who do you think you are? You see what I'm saying? That's why people are tried for their actions. That's why you can stand before God someday and be justly judged for what you do. Because you're called to govern yourself. True? Okay, so in other words, there's no excuse here if you're willing to do something about this. So we started last week with this. Pretty straight, basic stuff. You got to be proactive and purposeful in prayer. So you begin to identify lies that are strongholds of your thought process. You must then, once you identify it, don't leave it sit there. Okay, I identified it. I'm just going to leave it there. That makes no sense to me. Right? Do something about it. We begin to access divine power through prayer. That's the tool God's given us. Bible says, James, the prayer of a righteous man, woman, is powerful and effective. Because you're powerful and effective? No. Because the God you serve and the Holy Spirit who resides in you is. Prayer, divine power. So we don't go about this the way the world would. We go about this understanding that our battle is fought with his help, right? So if I realize that I have a thought pattern of fear, and I just find myself that, why am I consistently fearful of decision-making, or even fearful of doing things in life? Why does fear constantly, why is that my instant reaction in my mind? Stronghold. How'd that get there? I don't know. You don't necessarily have to know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start praying proactively, not waiting until it crops up, but it becomes part of my everyday prayer life. Lord, I am not going to live in fear because you are not God of fear. that is not going to be the way I live life. I'm not going to live in fear, right? But in moments it does pop up, then pray too then. Be proactive, be purposeful. But here's the second part of it that we're adding to that tonight is this. Got to pray the scriptures. You have to replace lies with truth. Now, again, remember, I say this so much. This is applicable to so many different ways we think of the Christian life. I don't want to just say, I'm just not going to be fearful anymore, behavior modification. I want to be transformed into something else. If I struggled with lying, I was just not an honest person. I'm even to the point of just lying for the sake of lying, right? I can't just say I'm going to quit being a liar and stop lying. There has to be a fruit of honesty that grows in my life and replaces it, or I will always default back into being a liar. You can't behavior modify your life. You have to be transformed into something new. That is why in your salvation, God just doesn't forgive you, but he makes you a new creation. He doesn't just try to take the old man away. He brings a new one. There's a replacement happening. That's why when Paul talks in fruit of the Spirit, he talks about it like fruit. It's something that grows, something you become, right? So I'm going to go to the place where God's truth is, and I'm going to pull on the truth that's against that lie so that truth grows in me instead. So when we talk about these thought patterns like ruts that you just kind of default into, you've got to create a new rut in your life so you start defaulting there. And so you got to get to the Word. So again, and I say so much of what I say. If I grew up in different denominations, I would probably say some different things. But again, growing up in the charismatic church is not good about praying the Bible. We're good at praying just whatever. We're not good at taking the actual scripture to our prayer. We say, well, it's rooted in the scripture. We just ad-lib pray our whole life. Listen, I pray the scripture consistently because it's the word of God. So you're praying proactively. I would bring the scripture into that proactivity. And when things pop up in the moment, remember when the devil tempted Jesus, what did he do? He came at him with scripture. So when these things pop up in the moment, I'm bringing scripture there too. Until the point that this is not cropping up. This pattern has been brought down. Take captive everything that's brought down. That's no longer my default. I've created a new default based in the truth. So, fear. There's different ones. I'd memorize a Bible verse like this. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? I pray that scripture every day. Every day. I am going to grow a new pattern in my life that there's no reason for me to fear because God is with me. Why should I fear decision making or things that I feel I'm supposed to do in life? Why should I fear? God's with me. And if I have a moment where I fear, that fear starts to and then it starts to get into my emotion. No. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and he's my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Absolutely not. And the scriptures become a part of your life in truth that are against this, things that are set up against the knowledge of God. These things that argue with you in your mind. And you bring the scripture to it. You need to be people who pray the scriptures as much as you ad-lib pray. If I had
If I had an issue with my self-esteem, I think of myself in a low manner because I was told I was worthless when I was a kid or something like that, and that stuck in my mind. That became a thought pattern that I'm worthless. I'd go to Psalm 139. When the Bible says in creation, I have been fearfully and wonderfully, great are your works, O Lord. And I'd start praying every day, Psalm 139. I have been, Lord, you made me fearfully and wonderfully in creation. I am worth something. I am not worthless. In the moment when something happens in life, somebody says something, there's a circumstance, and you start to feel that thought pattern, then your mood and your emotions. No. Psalm 139 says that in creation, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That means I'm wonderful in you, God. No, I'm worth something. That has no business here. And you start to replace lies with the truth. Or if I was consistently worried about finances, I'd memorize Matthew chapter 6. We'll be there in a couple weeks in the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus says, why worry about tomorrow? Why worry about the clothes that you wear? Why worry? Just seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't even have to say it completely exactly right, but you get the gist of the spirit of it. Yes, that's the word of God. And every day I would say, I have no reason to worry because God is my provider. Why worry about the clothes that I wear or the food that I eat? God takes care of the birds. He'll take care of me. If he cares about the grass that's cut down and thrown in the fire and burned, will he not clothe me much more than that? Why, don't be of little faith. And if that worry started to creep in my mind, in that moment, it starts to affect my emotions. No. God is my provider. You have to be proactive. Too often, when these things start happening, then we sit in it. Then we muddle around in it. You have divine power, the tools to deal with what happens if you're proactive. I made a regular part of my prayer life for no reason at all, but because of what this means, that at least once a week, I pray Psalm 23. Lord, you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside quiet waters. Lord, you restore my soul. Lord, you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. For even if I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear evil. You're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love is going to follow me all the days of my life. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You realize proactivity of praying the scriptures like that? How that brings comfort to your life. I promise you, one of the reasons why I rarely worry ever about anything is because I proactively pray that kind of a prayer. And I'm comforted in the fact that it is the scriptures, and I'm comforted in that it's a well-tread path of the centuries of Christians and Jewish people who believe. And I feel like I'm with a whole host of people walking that path together. The Lord, you're my shepherd. What do I have to worry about? And you get proactive. So you bring the scriptures in as the truth. Okay? Now, what's that mean? You must identify the lies that roll around in your brain consistently. Then you've got to take some time and dig into this to find some truth about it. Now, I'll say this. If you struggle with that, let me know. I will help you. And we'll get you some truth. But then, I'd memorize it. I'd put that right in my tool belt. Because notice what was happening as I was doing that. Listen to what I'm about to say. If I pray a section of Psalm 139, for I have been fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O Lord. Okay, Psalm 139. Notice what it rolls into. I am making a declaration. That's faith. I'm not just reading that. The Lord, you are my shepherd. That's a declaration. That's faith. Matthew chapter 6, you're worried about, Lord, you are my provider. That's a declaration. See, you're taking the scriptures, you're standing in truth, you're praying the truth, and you're declaring the truth in faith. Life will begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In time, your default is not going to be fear. Your default is going to be, well, what's the big deal? Your default is not to worry all the time about your finances and things. Your default is confidence in that God is your provider. Your default is not that you're worthless because somebody told you that. Your default is, well, actually, I am actually fearfully and wonderfully made. Not pride, but man, I do have some courage. You see, I'm getting that. There's a transformation that begins to happen. But you got to work the field and stay after it. Now, remember, I said this last week. Consistency wins the day. So, Tom, we've been talking. They're getting their farm equipment ready because planting season is coming fast. By Mother's Day and after, these guys are going to be in the fields planting their seeds. They're going to be doing all this prep work. Tom is not going to plant that seed and walk out the next day and say, well, my goodness, where are you at? This must not have worked. And go back home. He's going to watch this stuff grow all summer long into the fall till harvest time. And just because he planted it doesn't mean his work's done. He's going to stay after whatever the farmers do to help. Now, can Tom make it rain? Nope. Can Tom guarantee there's so much sunshine every day? Nope. Can Tom guarantee the temperatures are going to be a certain way all summer long? Nope. That's why God's involved. You do what you do, then God does what he does. The working together, we create a transformed mind. You're accessing divine power to bring change. But you got to put the work in. But I want to show you something else that you need to start doing too. Philippians chapter 4. We were there last week. Let's go back there. Philippians chapter 4. That we read this, but I stopped short of where I want to go tonight. We got just 6 or 7 minutes here, so let's finish out with this. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 4. I always do that to the people on the computer. I say, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, but I never tell them what verse, and they're kind of sitting there waiting on me. I need the verse too. Right, Mike? He said, yes, ma'am, sir. All right, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Here we go. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Wouldn't that be great if we all seemed reasonable to everybody? Anyways, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Prayer, you're giving thanks to him, right? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's guarding the seat of who you are, your heart, and again, your mind. But watch what Paul says after that. This is what I wanted to get to. We stopped short of this last week. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of all peace will be with you. What you think about matters. You've got to start to learn to think about such things. Now, that right there, that's really, really kind of open-ended. Paul didn't say, just think about Jesus all the time. You can, nothing wrong with that, obviously. I'm not putting that down. Of course, we didn't have the New Testament at that point. Did have the Old Testament scripture. He didn't say, just read the scriptures all day, every day, all the time. If you do that, nothing wrong with that, commendable. But what kind of things are praiseworthy? What kind of things are lovely? Think about things that are good for your thinking to help replace the things that are not good in your thinking. So, I can think about my wife. Isn't she lovely? Isn't that something? Can I think about her? Is that good? Is that good for me? Now, there shouldn't be some other guy thinking about my wife, but I can. Right? I can think about things that I enjoy. I tell you a million times, I'll catch a sunrise and sunset, and I'll just watch it. But I'm watching it, I'm thinking about it. That's the faithfulness of God every day in creation. There's all sorts of things that you can do with your mind that are for your benefit and for your good. Yes, I think and praise Jesus. Yes, I spend a lot of time in scriptures, but yes, I think about other stuff too. But I shouldn't be thinking about things that reestablish strongholds or feed strongholds or feed sinful thoughts. Occupy your mind. I don't know, maybe some of you don't think all the time. I know guys or famous people sit there and not think much. That's good too. You don't have to overtax your brain. But what is occupying your thoughts? Sometimes stop yourself. Is this commendable? Is this praiseworthy? Is this lovely? Is it building me up? Is it? Ask the questions. If not, even if it's not necessarily a stronghold, even if it's not necessarily sinful, stop thinking about it. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm going to occupy my mind somewhere else. You see, I'm getting that. You got to start dealing with what's rolling around your brain. It will be beneficial to you. All right, so we're going to close this out next week. I'm going to talk to you about, in your thinking, kind of reframing your past a little bit, about some of the things that may have happened that caused some strongholds that you're dealing with. How do we reframe our past? We're going to talk about that next week a little bit. All right, so we'll close that out. Anyhow, what are the lies and what truth are you going to stand on in opposition to them? Then be purposeful and prayerful with it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we want transformed and renewed minds all the way through. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to live in the things that have happened in our past. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay stuck. I thank you that we have to live according to the lies of the world or the things the enemy tries to whisper to us and things that people have said, even our own misconceptions about ourselves. We have the opportunity to live in the very truth of God. We're going to grab hold of it. We're going to think on it. And I thank you, Lord, that truth sets us free. And we don't live in these thought patterns that pull us down and hold us back and put caps on our lives. We live in freedom of your truth. I pray we do a work tonight in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we're going to do our part, and we know you're going to do yours. We'll start living free, new perspective, new way of seeing things. Doors open for us because we simply changed the way we think. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. We all say amen, amen. All right, thanks for being with us tonight, Sunday. One big family. Come on out.